John chapter 3. I thought I was being resurrected. John chapter 3, folks. On this pretty Lord's Day. We had some pretty days this week. In the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Get that? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look, Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the promise of the word, that whoever believed in Jesus Christ has eternal life. Help me to preach and exalt Christ, I pray. Make us a blessing. Amen. Amen. Are you saved today? You really know you're saved today? How many of y'all believe you can lose your salvation? Some of y'all don't believe that. I tell you what, there's a lot of people believe you can lose your salvation. I'm going to talk about our security today with you, how secure our salvation is. Today we hear a lot about security. This will keep your money secure, your house secure, your family secure. It will keep your computer secure from hackers. Recently, several years back, we bought a faucet for our kitchen. It was guaranteed for a lifetime. Well, it lasted 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 at the most. It failed. We contacted the company. You know what? They refused to replace it. Had a lifetime guarantee on it. We bought some stove burners with a lifetime warranty once. When they burnt out, we went to get them replaced, and the company don't handle those burners anymore. Lifetime warranty. This happens to the public all the time. You may have happened something like this happened to you. We're promised something is guaranteed, but too often it's not. They always got a little bit of wiggle room there because of this. Let me talk to you about real security, though. There's no wiggle room in what I'm talking about. Amen? The security I'm talking about is free. You don't even have to buy it. The owner of this security paid for it himself. And it will never run out no matter how long you have it. Amen? Furthermore, there's nothing anywhere that will void this plan of security. And one more thing about the owner of this security that he gives to you. He cannot lie about it. Amen? So his promise is true. Eternal security, church. You'd be surprised at the many people today that'll be told how they can lose their salvation and how they need to be saved again. We know that every person is going to die, and they're going to go to one of two places. That's the truth this book presents. Jesus said if we believed in him, we would live forever and never die in John 11:26. We studied about that some today. If we live and believe in him, we'd never die. Now the body will die, but you don't die. You just continue to live. You just take a different place of occupation. The saved person's soul and spirit does not die at death. The Bible says in John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I've thought about it many times. I think about it often. When you die, your body, and our soul escapes our body, what all is going to happen, you know? I mean, we'll just have to wait and see, amen? But it's going to be glorious for believers. Not going to be any fear, anxiety. It's going to be peace. Going to be joy. Going to be glorious, church. I believe this. But all who fail to believe in him, the Bible says they're going to perish eventually in the lake of fire. You know, it's disturbing today that occasionally a preacher will preach that somewhere. But you know, people don't pay attention to it. People can't imagine they'd be going to a lake of fire one day. Well, I happen to believe that's going to happen to people. I believe it's going to happen. Jesus spoke about hell more than he did heaven. Probably twice as much or more. In fact, Jesus is the one that made the lake of fire. But the choice is left up to every person to make their own decision whether they want eternal security that'll keep them out of hell, or if they just want to live their life and do their thing. Jesus alone promises this security. Only Jesus promises to save you, keep you saved, and you'll never lose your salvation. To be saved, one must hear the gospel and believe it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe, Paul said. Salvation is because of the gospel and the power of the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Only by believing in Jesus Christ do we have salvation and security. In Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, is what that word quickened means. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. When we believe the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, we are made alive unto God. We're made alive by the Holy Spirit. And he knows every person, get this, he knows every person who really did believe on Jesus as their Savior. And this is where I believe a lot of people are confused. You can get emotionally and join the church and still not be saved. You can be a good Baptist, have religion, and not be saved. Now, I think a lot of people are confused with this. And they think, you know, later on, I need to get saved. I feel like I've done this and I've lost my salvation. No, maybe you didn't have it to start with. Now, some people teach and believe one can lose their salvation. Is it true that one can lose eternal life? How do you lose eternal life? Eternal life is eternal, folks. Amen. It's everlasting. Sin is already been paid for because Jesus died upon the cross for the sins of the whole world. Sin has already been paid for, and God is now satisfied about sin. Amen. He's satisfied with the payment. His Son paid for it. Paid for everybody's sin. You weren't even born when Jesus paid for your sin. But he's already paid for them all. And God does not demand sin to be ever paid for again. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. Won't you listen carefully this morning? In the Bible, there is not one person who ever sinned, who was ever saved, who lost their salvation. Not even one person. Go through the scriptures, but rightly divide the word. There's not one person ever saved that lost their salvation. David was a godly man. Now, he's a good example of what I'm talking about today. David was a godly man, but he sinned. He sinned grievously with Bathsheba, and later he had her husband put to death. Did he lose his salvation? Not according to the Bible. It does not say that David ever lost salvation, but he prayed to God that God would restore to him the joy of his salvation. Sin in David's life caused him to lose the joy of being saved. But after David confessed that sin, he was again given the joy of salvation. No. Why didn't David lose his salvation? Because in eternity past, God had ordained that the Lamb of God would pay for the sins of the world and those that believe in Christ. So even with this great sin, David was never lost, but he lost the joy of being saved. And we are never saved by what we do or don't do. It's plain in the Bible in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. We cannot contribute anything to salvation. Nothing. You can't do anything to be saved. God, through Christ, did it all. We're asked to believe in Christ. Guess where you get the faith to believe from? It's supplied by God in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't have anything to do but apply the faith God gives us through His Word. Isn't that wonderful? That's because we have a secure salvation, folks. Yeah, we have an eternal salvation. What about one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot? Did he lose his salvation? No, Judas was never saved to start with. Jesus said about Judas in John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave to me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Judas was the son of perdition. He was a lost man that never would believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus chose him to be a disciple because they had a plan for him. They used him. God uses lost people, folks, but not for honor Think about that. He uses lost people, but not for honor. He used saved people for honor. Amen? When we are saved, we are born again. Now, every one of you here this morning, you've been born by a mom into this world. How many of y'all can unborn yourself? If you get born again by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you can't unborn yourself, folks. When we become a new person in Christ, and that's what you are, you're a new person in Christ. You're made sons and daughters of God. Although we are still sinners, God doesn't deal with us as sinners anymore. God deals with us as His children, church. We're His children. We can be disobedient children that He corrects by chastening us when we disobey Him. But He never causes us to be unborn or unsaved. When we are saved, we are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God takes every true, born-again believer and puts them in Christ. We're in Christ. In fact, the Scriptures teach we already in Christ at the right hand of the Father today. Isn't that amazing? We're seated with Christ today in heavenly places. But the Holy Spirit puts us in Christ when we really believe in Jesus as our Savior. That's the distinction, though. You got to really be a believer. A believer does not sin and be put back and forth like a yo-yo into the body of Christ. Every time you sin, you're taken out and then put back in when you repent. No, it doesn't work like that, folks. When we sin as a son or daughter of God, He will chasten us if we don't repent. There's a lot of Christian people today got sin in their lives they're not repenting about. They don't enjoy the Lord either. And they're not faithful to the Lord either. If Christian people have sin in their life and will not heed His chastening when He chastens them, God is likely to set them aside and not use them. They're just disobedient children. He can't use them. They don't bring any glory to Him. When they stand at the judgment, there'll be little or no rewards for them, because they were set aside. They wouldn't live like they're supposed to as a Christian. If still a Christian will not, in some cases, if they won't repent of their sin, they can commit the sin and the death. I believe this is happening a lot in our world today, in the church world. A lot of Christians involved in sins, grievous sins they won't repent of, and God moves them out early. They commit the sin unto death. Because they're bringing reproach to His name. As Christian people, we're to live holy lives. We're to repent of our sins. I have to repent every day, more than one time. Not that I'm out deliberately sinning. I just realize I'm a sinful creature. I want to stay in the will of the Lord. John says in 1 John 5:16-17, there's a sinner unto death. I did not say that he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, some Christians can commit bad sins, and God doesn't take them out for some reason. But others, and only God knows why, they're removed from this life. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, the book of Acts, committed this sin when they lied to the Holy Spirit. Here's two Christians, a man and a woman, and they lied to Peter. First it was him, and he was struck down dead in the temple. And then she come in later and told the same lie. God struck her down. They committed a sin unto death. They didn't lose their salvation. They lost their life because they lied. When we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, church. Listen to me. When you are really saved, if you are saved, at the moment you are saved, you're not only born again, made a new person, put in Christ by the Holy Spirit, but you are sealed. You're sealed. Our corporation has a seal that was provided by the state. Many times on receipts, I take the seal out and clamp it to the document. It's a seal for Country Preacher Ministries. Well, if you're a real believer, the Holy Spirit has sealed you. And you can't unseal it. Because that seal says you belong to God. You're God's forever. Why? He's bought you. He's paid for you because you accepted His Son. Now, can you unseal yourself? No. Can sin unseal you? No. Why? Your sin was all paid for, church. Sin is already paid for. Let's get it straight. And God does not require it be paid for again. Nothing can break the power of the Holy Spirit. He's God. You know what God's goal is to get you saved. If He gets you saved, He ain't going to let you get lost. I know I'm not using good English, but I was born in the country. In Ephesians 1:13, you ought to read this scripture for church. You ought to turn to Ephesians 1:13. It's worth to read. The Bible says there, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, in whom ye also trusted, listen to that, after you trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, I tell you what, now that's as clear as the nose on your face. After you believed, you were sealed. And yet people come up to you, well, I used to be saved. Yeah. Michael 7:19 says, And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Isaiah 38:17, for thou hast cast all thy sin, my sins, behind thy back. Wow. Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake, God says. For my own sake, brother. And will not remember thy sins. Whew. Isn't he a great God? Somebody ought to praise the Lord today, folks. In Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. As a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. See, people, a Christian can wander away from the Lord, but you can't lose your salvation. You can become carnal, worldly minded, not usable. You still belong to the Lord. And you're grieving the Spirit of God. But what's going to show up on Judgment Day? What did you do for the Lord? How did you live for the Lord? Did you bring dishonor to the Lord? See, people seem to forget. See, it's the point that we all got to stand at the judgment as believers in Jesus Christ. And all of our life is going to be brought before the Lord to be examined to see how did we live. What have you done for the Lord? So we can't go out and live as we please, as some assume. That's what they usually say, these people that claim you can lose your salvation. Well, if I can't lose my salvation, I'll just go out and have me a good time. Well, if you do, if you're really saved, you'll get the hand of God on you. Right? And if you got that kind of attitude, I believe you need to get saved. If you got that kind of attitude. When one is saved, the Holy Spirit begins to indwell that person. Boy, you hear the different arguments we got in the Bible for being saved forever? Once you were saved, now the Holy Spirit moves in to live in you. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you understand what I'm trying to say today. In John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Think about that. It's amazing, folks. These old body of ours has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, who is God. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Romans 8:9. Boy, I love this one now. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Folks, I believe in eternal security. Have you really been saved? You're secure. You can't lose it. But if you just got religion, you got Baptist religion, charismatic religion, Catholic religion, cult religion, you can lose that. But you can't lose being born again, being a child of God. Now, here's a scripture that they like to use sometime. They misuse this scripture. In Galatians 5, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. And here's the phrase that they hang on. Ye are fallen from grace. Now, these people that they claim they lose their salvation, the Bible says, ye are fallen from grace because of some sin. Folks, that is not what he's even talking about. They take it out of context. The Mosaic law does not save. That's what it's talking about. Keeping the law don't save. And Paul goes on and says, you're falling from grace. In other words, you come short of what you needed. You're just believing in the law. You need grace, and you've come short of it by refusing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. That's the way they take it out of context. They don't rightly divide the scriptures. And that's why it's so important. We have to rightly divide the Word of God, and the Bible says to do so. You can't just pick up this Bible and read it like the newspaper. In 2 Peter 2:22, here's another one. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. Some use that to talk about how a saved person can turn back and live like they used to live. Well, that's not what it's even talking about, folks. No, this does not have to do with those who hear the way of... This has to do with the way of those who hear the way of salvation but refuse to accept it. There's a lot of people know, I need to be saved. I need to believe in Jesus, but I'm not ready. And they just go back and turn aside to knowing how to be saved and all and go back and live like they want to live. In John 1:29, John says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was appointed by God Almighty, his Father, to go to the cross. Jesus was not overwhelmed and taken to the cross. He volunteered for the cross. God ordained that his Son would go to the cross and all the sin of the world would be transferred from humans to Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus Christ paid for the sins of every person that would ever live in this world. Every person, their sin has been paid for. And every person can be saved by believing in Jesus who paid for them. And if they're not saved, it's only because they refuse to believe in him who paid for them. Amen? In Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our sin nature was transferred to Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not live a life of sin now. We should live a life for the Lord now. We're a new person, a new creation. We're sons and daughters of God. Our lifestyle is to be different from that of the world. Because the Holy Spirit's living in us. Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. But still these diehard believers and teachers of this false doctrine cannot get into their minds that somehow if they sin a certain sin, they will lose their salvation. There's always that certain sin going to make them lose their salvation. Well, what sin is it that's not been paid for, church? Because Christ has already paid for all sin. The truth is, with God, there is not a little sin or a certain sin. Not with God. Because every sin is sin to God. There's no such thing as a little sin. I mean, after all, Adam only took a bite from that fruit, whatever it was, if it was an apple. Might have been a lemon. The reason it's a lemon, amen? Could have been a grapefruit. But all he did was just take a bite. That we would say that's little, wouldn't we? Not to God. It was disobedience. It was sin. I'm afraid many people today think they were saved when really they were not saved. How many times at revival times has a young person went forward and two or three others would go with them, we're going to all just go together, join the church. And they probably wasn't saved. Amen? And they've lived their life thinking, well, I'm a member of that church, so, you know, but they're not saved. And they don't live for the Lord. So I think a lot of people think they were saved and are not. I think it's a heart problem. They become emotional, maybe. Some preachers preach a lot of sad stories, get people emotional, to get them to come to the front. We don't try that. We're supposed to use the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit then is supposed to take the Word of God and convict, draw. Salvation only occurs when one realizes they're lost. They're a lost sinner. You got to realize you're lost. If you don't know you're lost, you can't be saved. And then you ask Jesus to forgive you, be your Savior. Trust Him. Now, you won't start off like a super duper, but you should be growing in the Lord. You should be growing in the Lord, becoming more faithful to the Lord, learning how to serve the Lord, learning to say no to self. Learning how to give yourself to be used of the Lord. Y'all listening? You don't have to have a fear of losing your salvation if you're ever saved, church. If you're really saved, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. You don't have to lay in bed at night and say, I hope I'm saved. I hope I make it. Well, I hear this a lot. I hope I make it. If I can just get there. What an expression. We ought to praise God that He would save an old sinner. And we ought to want to honor Him and praise Him and love Him. Church. My, what a poor outlook. If you don't want to do nothing, somebody kept you out of hell. Amen. Amen? Amen? When you got saved, you're not put on probation. I know Johnny knows a lot about probation, probably being in police department. You're not put on probation to see if you can hold out. Now, a lot of that's being preached today. You've got to hold out. You're not on probation. See if you can hold out. Let me tell you something. You couldn't hold out. It's He holding on. Amen. It's Him holding on. Remember, you got the Spirit in you. You're sealed. You're a child of God. No, you're not on probation. To see if you can hold out and deserve to go to heaven. Nobody deserves to go to heaven. We go to heaven by the grace of God. Amen. We're saved because Jesus has already paid for all of our sins, and we will never be charged with sin. If we could see how sinful we are, do you ever stop and think about what a sinful person you are? Folks, people are sinful. And if we don't see we're sinful, you got pride, and that's the worst one. Amen. Amen. But we're going to be judged to see how faithfully we serve the Lord. It's not having anything to do with saved or not saved. It's going to have to do with how faithfully did I serve the Lord after he saved me. How did I use my talents? What's your talents? How have you used your talents? How have you used your opportunities? That's what we're going, the way we're going to be judged. Your opportunity. Everybody don't have the same talents. Everybody don't have the same opportunities. But how did you use what you were given? I'm just telling you the truth. What keeps us saved is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood. Amen. Jesus washed us from all of our sin, folks. We've been purged. We've been set apart for the glory of God. We belong to him who loved us so much. You know anybody that loves you? You know if anybody that loves you really loves you? Aren't you glad somebody loves you? Amen? I talk about my little cat. He was a ball of love. It was God's love. Oh, what love that little fellow would. He would show to me in faith. All that love. You know why? When he showed all that love, it just moved me to try to do more to help him. His health was terrible. I kept spending money, because he loved me. But I loved that little rascal too. I didn't know a man supposed to love a cat. But he stole my heart the first time I seen him. And the more we kept him, what a ball of love. What happens to a cat's love and a dog's love? A cat and a dog can love you. You see that big old dog just grinning at you. He's just laughing at you. He's happy. He loves you. What happens to their love? What happens to the animals that can love you like they love you? What happens to that love, church? Somehow God's got to hold on to that love. It can't just die. That love comes from God. Oh, I kind of got off on something different, but that's all right. My point is this. If God would love you so much to save you, why don't you and I love him and serve him like we ought to? For by grace are you saved. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're in fellowship with the Lord by the blood of Christ, church. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a Savior. What love. And our salvation is secure. It's eternal. And we can sit here today, we can worship here today, and we can know that when that time comes, when the Father says, come up here, our salvation is secure. And it's going to last for eternity. It's not going to ever end. You can't fathom that, and I can't either. You can't fathom living forever and never sad again, no more problems again. Folks, do y'all, boy, we got it made. Amen? Let's give the Lord a big hand together this morning. Amen. Amen. Loving God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the love of God. Thank you for the Word of God. Encourage your people today. Bless them, Lord. Use them, Lord. Make us usable for your glory. And we'll pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. May you want to come to the altar, talk to the Lord. Maybe you want to come, say, Lord, use me. If somebody here that needs salvation, hey, day's the day of salvation, church.